All good writers know how to string words together, but Richard Bausch knows how to use the space between the words. His stories are full of small silences, the fits and starts of people trying to talk to one another. Here's an example, a dramatization from the story The Voices from the Other Room.
Are you warm?
I'm toasty.
Love me?
What do you think?
It was good for you.
You were nice.
Nice? Just nice?
Nice is wonderful, Larry. It's more than good, for instance. You're always so insecure about it. Why is that?
I'm not insecure. I just like to know I gave you pleasure.
You did.
That's all I wanted to know. Ellen?
What?
Nothing.
No? Tell me.
Well, if it was wonderful, why didn't you say wonderful?
Is this a test?
Okay, you're right. I'm sorry.
Richard Bausch has written 9 novels and dozens of short stories, which have appeared in The New Yorker and The Atlantic Monthly. His latest compilation is Fat as a Dictionary, with 42 stories written over 20 years. So far back, he says that with some, he can't remember where he was or what he was doing when he wrote them.
Another curious thing about it is I can't unthink them. In other words, when I think back to, when I was 20 or 21 and I hadn't written anything, I can't remember how that felt not to have written these things. They're just there. Maybe it's like not being able to unthink being balding. I can't imagine myself any other way.
You hadn't written before that?
No, I didn't start writing until I was about 22, 3.
Well, in those days, a typewriter, you put paper in there and you say, okay, I'm a writer now.
I remember saying it, and this band I was playing in was breaking up, and I said to Karen, honey, I'm not going to write music anymore. I want to write stories. We'd been married about 2 months.
Fortunately, Karen is still with you.
Yes, thank God.
and 5 children, and you would not know that from the unhappiness of some of these relationships in your story.
I used to make a joke. I used to say, I'm going to write a big novel called How Happy We Were and How Many People We Loved and What We All Ate. You know, it's like, who wants to hear that?
Well, some of these people are happy. I mean, they're all aching for love, yearning for love, longing for love. Some of them had it and blew it. Mm-hmm. Some of them feel just on the verge of getting it.
Yeah, it's bottomless as a subject. There are so many aspects to it. Love's the most powerful force in the world, I think. That and, oddly enough, fear. And when the two get mixed together, there's just so much room to write about.
Some of these things just break your heart. A grandfather and his overweight granddaughter trying to function in a physical challenge in school.
Yeah, what feels like the world. She can't get over the vaulting horse. And I saw a colleague teach the story, and this was after the story had been published. I realized as this person was talking about it, that he talked about the vaulting horse that this girl can't get over as being a symbol for grief, that the whole story's soaked in grief, and it's, you know, the loss of her mother, and the grandfather's grieving it too. And I had never thought of that. I never thought the thing you can't get over. I mean, it never entered my mind. But of course it was there. It's there in the sense that a child making a drawing puts in much more than the child knows.
I don't want people to think there isn't humor in here. Some of these are just hilarious. A guy gets a call from his daughter, who's 23 and living in Chicago.
Dad? Did you hear me?
I'm here.
Well?
Yeah. Aren't you happy for me?
Dad?
She's pregnant by and going to marry a man 20 years older than her father.
And 40 years older than she is.
Yeah.
Melanie, I don't understand.
Come on, Daddy, stop it.
No, what are you telling me?
I said William is 63.
William who?
Dad, my fiancé.
Wait, Melanie, you're saying your fiancé, the man you're going to marry, he's 63?
A young 63.
63?
Dad.
You didn't say 6'3", Melanie?
Yes.
It's like a Bob Newhart thing. He's a what? He's what?
It was a lot of fun to write, actually, that story.
Did you want to read?
Sure,
so what?
Well, let's do Not Quite Final, the last paragraph. That's a good one.
This is the divorce on the rocks.
Yeah, it's not going to work out, this divorce. Okay. The two of them are alone with their daughter's child. I missed you all morning, Jack. The baby was crying and I was busy, but I missed you. I missed you. I didn't want to be young again or anything like that. Do you understand me? She stood. I'm going to get some water or something. He watched her go into the kitchen. When they had been younger, their desire for each other had often contained an element of humor. They could laugh and tease and play through a whole afternoon of lovemaking. He took a deep breath and stood and walked into her. She was standing at the sink, running water. Tepid water, she said, turning to face him. Mary. He took the little step toward her. She put the glass down. The water was still running. He reached past her, turned it off, and then his hands were on her shoulders, pulling her to him. To his exquisite surprise, her arms came around him at the waist. He put his mouth on hers, and the two of them tottered there under the bright light, holding on. He was dimly aware of their one shadow on the wall, tilting. He breathed the flower fragrance of her hair. "We'll wake the baby," she said. The phrase sounded so perfectly right, so natural, that he forgot for an instant where he was, where he had been, what processes of dissolution and legal wrangling he had been through over the past months, what loneliness and sorrow, what anger and bitterness and anxiety, negotiating an end to his long and complicated life with this still young woman who held so tight to him now, murmuring his name.
Writer Richard Bausch, reading from his new book, The Stories of Richard Bausch. The dramatic scenes were performed by Kevin Murray, Mary Lechter, and Kimberly Schraff. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.